So some of you might be wondering what the dickens I'm doing up here. Because Shannon is away, Doug was given a Sunday to present something, and because I secretly have a crush on Doug, I went and asked him if there was anything that he needed help with, and this is what happens. So we chose the subject Serving God by Serving Others, and Love Your Neighbor as Yourself. Galatians 5:13-14. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself. The words love your neighbor as yourself are not only found in this passage, but in Matthew, Mark, Luke, Romans, James, and even Leviticus. These words spoken by Jesus are not merely a suggestion, but they are a commandment. Doug and I discussed this week what it means to love another person as we love ourselves. We came to the conclusion that the other person should have at least what we have. And we don't mean that they have exactly the same possessions that we have or that they have the same life that we do, but they should have at least all the basics to live well: security, safety, a home, food, access to health care, respect, kindness, community, the opportunity to know God. Of the hundreds of millions of Christians living on the planet right now, the vast majority of us will not be international workers. We won't go to Africa to build wells. We won't raise millions of dollars for charities. The vast majority of us will just live quiet, ordinary, average lives in very unremarkable places like Leduc. However, in these ordinary lives, God is watching us. He's asking us to notice those around us, to help out where we can, to get our priorities straight, to hold lightly onto our stuff and grasp firmly onto Him. In his book, Contrarian's Guide to Knowing God, Larry Osborne says this: not all of us are called to be leaders. Some have no motivation or interest in that. However, we may live a life of obedience with grace and dignity, raise children, help others, love well, and that's okay, because many of the followers of Christ in the New Testament were exactly like that. We need both leaders and those who live more average lives. The Christian author Philip Yancey tackles the difficult question, where is God when it hurts? He writes, God is now in the church, his delegated presence on earth. The question might even be rephrased, where is the church when it hurts? Time will not heal all wounds. Even God will not heal all wounds, at least not in this life. Meanwhile, the church has work to do. If the church does its job, people won't torment themselves wondering where God is. They know the answer. God becomes visible through people who live out the mission that Paul expressed so well. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. So Christ's church has been asked to be his hands and feet, and ordinary people living ordinary lives can do this. I think that God has placed all of us in situations one time or another where he expects us to serve and help. Often these can be challenging and somewhat tough. I have been privileged to have been able to help many times. I'm not sure why God has trusted me to do this, because on several occasions I have done more stumbling and mistake-making than helping. Most of the time I really like to help, but there have been occasions when perhaps I am tired or not feeling well, and I admit to being like that elder brother in the story that Jesus told in Matthew. There were two brothers. The father asked them to go out to the vineyard to work. The younger brother said, sure, I'll go, but he didn't. And the elder brother said, no, I don't feel like it. I'm not going to go, but he did. And Jesus felt that what he did was better. And so there are times when I feel like that elder brother. Oh, I don't feel like going. I don't feel like doing it. But then when I force myself to go, I find perhaps that I learn something, or I talk to someone really cool, or I see a change in myself or someone else, and I am blessed by that. The author, Jim Wallace, says this. In Matthew 25, Jesus talks about what you do to the least of these you do or do not do to me. Jesus taught and modeled that what is most important for those who follow him is to spend their time and treasure in this world engaging in loving, self-sacrificing actions with the express purpose of manifesting God's love and justice on earth as it is in heaven. Doug and I have attended Leduc Alliance Church for 29 years. So that's, I think we were about 10 or 11 when we arrived. Over this time, have we always agreed with everything that has happened here? No, we have not. Have people disagreed with us? I don't know why, but yes. Does everything that happens here turn out wonderfully? No. Is this the church family for everyone? It is not. We are just all hurt people trying to find our way. However, over these last 29 years, even though many people have come and gone, there has truly been a culture of love and concern for others. Alistair said a few weeks ago that they noticed it upon their arrival here, and it is an evidence in many ways. This church body truly does feel like a family. Because some of you have not been here very long, and possibly some of you may have forgotten, I would like to share a few stories of some of the thousands of ways that people at Leduc Alliance Church have served God by serving others. I won't use any names because it's not really important who did it as long as it was done. Some of these things happened many years ago, some are more recent, and some happen continually. Many of these examples are small, simple things done quietly, which is the way I think Jesus prefers it. So one Saturday afternoon, a man was up on the highway here hitchhiking, and he looked over and he saw our church, and so he made his way down. And normally there wouldn't have been anyone here on a Saturday afternoon, but one of these small groups at that time was preparing to serve a meal at the Mustard Seed Church in the inner city. So there just happened to be dozens and dozens of containers of chili and bags of buns. And when the man was let in, he said, "I haven't eaten for 3 days." So the small group was able to give him lunch with second helpings, and then he made his way back up to the highway again. Two women in our congregation helped an overwhelmed young mom clean and organize her home. A group of women gathered at a young man's home who recently had become a widower with 3 small children. They painted several bedrooms for him as he was busy trying to cope with so many other things. Over 4 to 5 months, a couple of men visited a young man who was in prison. Hundreds of Christmas shoeboxes are packed each year for children overseas. A couple brought food to a man living in his minivan. After a member of the church family was involved in a devastating motorcycle accident, teams of people visited him in hospital once a week and then afterwards in his home. This continued for weeks and months and in some cases years. Several people advocated for a young man needing to attend a rehabilitation program. Leduc Alliance offered to be the venue for the emergency overnight shelter before a permanent location was found. Countless meals have been prepared and delivered to those who are sick or grieving. Several different families have invited someone to live with them as these people needed a home. The people of Leduc Alliance have always been generous and supportive of fundraisers to aid others. Families and individuals babysit for one another. A group of women sew dresses for little girls who are in need. Many families have been helped by members of our church family moving them to a new home. A couple attended court with another family to provide emotional support. A couple with a small business provided a job for someone who needed one. A couple drive a friend to church each Sunday. Our family is exceptional, accepting and including those who may be a little different than the norm. We cut each other's grass, weed gardens, and fix fences. We clean out city parks, hold garage sales and bake sales, and give the money away. We visit one another in the hospital and phone someone who hasn't been able to attend church in a while. We invite one another over for coffee or meals. And the one thing that has been continuous and constant for all these years, and possibly the most important, is we pray for one another. I hope that these examples have encouraged you to continue to be a blessing and help to others, to love your neighbor as yourself. Many years ago, when we lived in Vancouver, I was privileged to teach kindergarten at a fairly large Christian school, Richmond Christian. And at the beginning of each school year, our principal Ian would get up in the school assembly and say something to the children. And this one particular year, he got up and he said, "I have four words for you that I would like you to remember when you're in your classrooms, when you're in the gym, when you're on the playground, even when you're at home. And I want these words to guide you. And the words are, do what is right. Do what is right." And I don't have to tell you what is right and wrong. You know, you can feel what is right. So that has stuck with me all these years. Such a simple, basic thing, but it has really, I've really remembered that. 2 Thessalonians 3:13, "As for you, brothers, never tire of doing what is right, and loving your neighbor as yourself is right."
It's going to be a hard act to follow, I think. Well, I've been told that every speech requires a joke as a kind of warm it up, so here it is. "What's wrong, Bubba?" asked the pastor. "I need you to pray for my hearing," said Bubba. The pastor put his hands on Bubba's ears and prayed. When he was done, he asked, "So how's your hearing?" "I don't know," said Bubba. "It isn't until next Tuesday." Ooh. In a song, Phil Collins, entitled "Another Day in Paradise," writes, "She calls out to the man on the street, 'Sir, can you help me? It's cold and I've nowhere to sleep. Is there somewhere you can tell me?' He walks on, doesn't look back. He pretends he can't hear her, starts to whistle as he crosses the street, seems embarrassed to be there. Oh, think twice, because it's another day for you and me in paradise. Oh, think twice, because it's another day for you and me in paradise. Unfortunately, I have done this on occasion myself because I didn't know how to help, felt uncomfortable, slightly overwhelmed in certain situations I was placed in. I have asked questions like, how can we help those in need? How can we serve in love? How can we give without enabling? How can we serve God by serving others? Asking questions like these is the reason that Lorena and I were led to be part of the Leduc Hub. I believe that many of us have compassion for the poor, the sick, those in need, and those in need of a friend. But how we react is uniquely different for each of us. Helping can take a lot of effort and is sometimes stressful and time-consuming. In Matthew 25, Jesus describes those who will be his sheep and be blessed by his Father, those who have fed, befriended, and clothed the needy, those who have visited prisoners and the sick. This is the premise that began the Leduc Hub. And I apologize for speaking about the hub, but it's near and dear to my heart. About 9 years ago, a group of concerned individuals met to discuss how they could help people in need. They formed a nonprofit society that would work with Alberta Works, both city and county Leduc Family and Community Services. The hub would help financially in areas that were not covered by programs offered by these agencies. In addition, the idea of an overnight shelter was born. Today, this has changed as we now have a permanent shelter in Leduc. The hub also partners with Gateway Church in the building that they call the Go Center, which includes a youth drop-in, Gyra Center, and that's a place where people can get free clothing, and just a place to visit. While we still help financially with rent and utilities, most people just drop in for community, have a bite to eat. Snacks are provided by generous supporters at Starbucks and the Co-op Deli here in Leduc. And Thursday has become Meat Day. No Frills in Beaumont have graciously, they give us their, I guess, stuff past best before dates. So we pick it up on Wednesdays, and Thursday is everybody drops in, and if they need something, they do. So these are just a few examples of people serving others. In our small city, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of acts of kindness every day. Not every person is motivated to act because of the love for Jesus, but Jesus has instilled in us a sense of what is right, and many are led by that. Hundreds of volunteers are working, cleaning parks, helping with food bank collection, reading to children in schools, serving meals on wheels, helping in seniors' homes, working a shift at the overnight shelter, volunteering for city-run functions such as sporting events, and delivering furniture and household goods through St. Vincent de Paul. People watch out for their neighbors, support fundraisers, and are kind to animals. Here are a couple of short stories which show in a little more detail the kindness of people in Leduc. In the middle of the night, a couple heard a very weird noise coming from their backyard. It sounded like a wounded animal. They opened the door to discover a teenage girl slumped against their deck. She was only partly dressed and under the influence of either drugs or alcohol, and could not speak and could not stand up. These people wrapped her in a blanket and comforted her while waiting for the police to arrive. They never did learn the reason for her tragedy or the outcome, but did what they could in the moment. A young man had plans to get back to Eastern Canada, but no funds. He chose to camp out in a tent on a grassy boulevard behind an older neighborhood here in Leduc. In a house backing the boulevard lived a lady who not only noticed him, but went out to inquire what he needed. She listened to his story and then provided him with bottles of water and meals for several days until he could access help. Another young man who was a heroin user accessed the emergency shelter this past winter. A young volunteer befriended him and helped guide him to the point where he desired to enter the Teen Challenge treatment program, which he started 2 weeks ago. After an invitation to church as well, this man accepted the salvation in Christ. And here is a letter from another gentleman dealing with addiction. It says, I am in treatment now, and I made it down to Lethbridge in March for my court date. I got 3 months to think about where my addiction took me and to reflect upon my life in general. I was in a bad way when I found my way into that place there in Leduc. That may have saved my life, but I just wanted you to know that it isn't so far it hasn't been a waste of money. I am healthy, strong, and the closest I have ever been to God. I am heading into a 3-month treatment program on my own accord. I believe God used you all, and I am so grateful. And then, does anybody have anything that they would like to share? Any stories that they might have, you know, heard or been part of in the same vein? Angie.
I'd like to give praise because all of these things that have helped this community, and in fact, just about everything that was mentioned has been given to me from God and from my church family and from the community resources that Doug has been speaking of. I've been going through something a little bit lately where I'm trying to give back and I'm trying to be so careful, and my heart is mixed because for me to do the things that others have done for me has been coming up as being challenging because I'm so scared to go near the same places of addiction or of... So I'm trying to find a way right now to how to give back to God all of these things. And when you've listed off the amount of things that you've said that have helped me and you guys yourselves over the years, I'll never be able... I'll never be able to repay it. And I'm just so grateful, and I just want to praise every, not just God, but all of those people who do that work, and all of those people who are strong enough to reach out, and all of the people who have put on their heart that rather than be in a place of judgment, that they were going to serve somebody who was in a lower spot than they were. And I just am so thankful.
Thank you. Anybody else? Oh.
I'm sure you've seen the van sitting right outside the door here for a year, maybe. That's Sheldon. I don't think he's here this morning, but he's a wonderful guy. You notice the lawns are nicely cut. He's been part of that, doing a good job, willing. A while back, I was taking the black garbage cans to the next block where the garbage truck picks them up. And this guy's following me. And he says, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm taking the garbage away." He said, "Okay, just wanted to make sure you didn't steal those." Thank you, Sheldon. So if you have a chance to befriend him. He said to us recently that he's going to move on, so who knows when that is, but as long as he's here, we're going to love him. And there's another van here, a truck here, or a Jeep with a trailer. I guess you know him. Yeah. So I haven't had a chance to talk to him, but John, anyway.
Thanks, Dick. Yeah, there are so many neat stories. There's so many things we can do. There's, you know, and it doesn't take much. It's just, you know, a kind word. I know that community is probably one of the most important things to people that feel they're alone, and it's nice to be included. It would be nice if people came into the church for community, but if they don't, maybe it's our job to go and look for them and provide community. So, back on to the speech. Lorene and I have what is called the Poverty and Justice Bible. In Scripture, poverty is mentioned 2,100 times. And in this Bible passages, try again, Doug. And in this Bible, any passages which mention poverty or justice are highlighted. And here's an example. So when you're reading, if it's got the orange on it, pay attention. So in the commentary in this Bible, there's an interesting part. Bono, the lead singer of U2, said this in a talk to the National Prayer Breakfast. "You know, Christ is judgmental and on the subject of the poor. As you have done it unto these, my brethren, you have done unto me." U2's lead singer knows what many have forgotten, that the Bible speaks about poverty and justice. Not long ago, a Christian leader bumped into the inventor of one of these popular courses that introduced people to the Christian faith. "So, what's your course about then?" asked the Christian leader. "Oh, it's about the basics of Christian faith," came the reply. "So, you mean things like care for the poor, the sick, those infected with HIV, AIDS, and the rejected of our world? Those kind of things?" "No, no," came the reply. "Not those, just the basics." But how can the issues of poverty and justice be left out of the basics if they are so deeply enshrined in the Bible's pages? In his book, Enough, Christian author Will Davis Jr. writes about voluntarily and joyfully sacrificing and releasing our resources, our own opportunities, and perceived rights so that we can benefit others. He says, "As God blesses us with more than enough, he does it so that he might meet the needs of others through us. And in Christ following, we're all one body. We have to lose our us-them mindset. In the body of Christ, there is no us and them. There is only us." And I'm just going to read from Isaiah 58, 6 to 10, from the Message. This is the kind of fast day I'm after, to break the chain of injustice, get rid of exploitation in the workplace, free the oppressed, cancel debts. What I'm interested in seeing you do is sharing your food with the hungry, inviting the homeless poor into your homes, putting clothes on all the shivering, ill-clad, being available to your own families. Do this and the lights will turn on, and your lives will turn around at once. Your righteousness will pave your way. The God of glory will secure your passage. Then, when you pray, God will answer. You'll call out for help, and I'll say, here I am. If you get rid of your unfair practices, quit blaming victims. Quit gossiping about other sins. If you are generous with the hungry and start giving yourselves to the down and out, your lives will begin to glow in the darkness. Your shadowed lives will be bathed in the light.